Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building an old-school deed and bead edit with modern pressure inside Ableton Live 12, and the big idea is simple. We're not trying to polish the soul out of it. We're keeping the jungle and rave energy, but making the arrangement hit harder, breathe better, and feel more intentional in the mix. Old-school DNB lives and dies by movement in the arrangement. It is not just about finding a killer break and looping it. The pressure comes from modulation, phrasing, contrast, and those little moments where the track seems to lean forward and pull the dance floor with it. So as we work, think less about more layers and more about better changes. Let's start by setting up the skeleton in arrangement view. Put locators in for intro, build, drop 1, switch up, drop 2, and outro. If you want the most authentic feel, aim around 174 BPM, but the real goal is to lock the session to the tempo of your source material so the edits feel sharp and confident. Build a simple track layout. Drum break, kick and snare layer, sub or respace, atmos and FX, rave stab or sample, plus returns for short reverb, delay, and a longer dubby space. That gives us enough tools to create contrast without overcomplicating things. In this style, clarity is power. Now let's get the break moving. Use a classic Amen, Think, or any breakbeat with that old-school jungle attitude. If needed, slice it in simpler so you can rearrange individual hits. Transient slicing works well if the break is already punchy. The key here is to preserve the groove while making small changes that keep it alive. Process the break with the stock tools. Drum bus can add punch and a bit of grit. A touch of drive can help. And boom can add weight if the break feels too thin. But don't let it fight the sub. Use HQ8 to clean up mud down low and tame any harsh resonance in the upper mids. Then, if needed, use saturator for a little extra glue and crunch. As you arrange the break, don't let it just sit there. That's the rookie move. Make the loop evolve. Maybe the first 4 bars are fairly open and filtered. Then in bars 5 through 8, add a ghost snare, a reversed hit, or a tiny fill. By bars 9 through 16, start chopping in little turnaround moments so the drums feel like they're speaking to the listener instead of just repeating. That's a big mindset shift for this style. Treat the break like a lead instrument. It's not background, it's the engine and the voice. Now build the bass. Wave Eatable is a great choice here, because it gives you enough control to create a proper reese or pressure bass without getting lost. Start with a saw or pulse on one oscillator, a detuned saw on another, and a clean sine or triangle underneath for the sub. Use a low-pass filter with a modest resonance so the sound has body, but doesn't get too fizzy. Keep the bass core tight. If the low end starts to widen too much, bring it back. Mono in the sub region is your friend here. A little detune is great for motion, but you want the bass to feel controlled, not seasick. Add saturator after the synth so the bass translates on smaller speakers, and if you want a darker edge, a light touch of redux can add texture. Just be careful not to shred the bottom end. The real magic comes from phrasing. Don't write the bass as a constant stream. That's not old school pressure. That's just clutter. Instead, make the bass answer the drums. Leave space after the snare. Use short stabs and small runs. Let some notes breathe at the end of phrases. In this genre, silence is not empty. Silence is a weapon. Now let's make the patch editable in the arrangement. Group the bass devices into an instrument rack and map important parameters to macros. A great first macro is dark to bright, controlling filter cutoff. Another can be grit, controlling saturator drive. A third can be space, sending a bit more signal into reverb or delay. You can also map width, but keep that subtle and mostly on the mid layer, not the sub. Then automate those macros in arrangement view. For the intro, keep the bass dark and tucked back. During the build, slowly open the filter and increase grit a little. On the drop, snap the cutoff open and pull the space back so the bass feels dry and direct. In the switch up, reintroduce a bit of movement or tension. On the final drop, you can push the mid-range a little harder or make the bass feel more aggressive. This is one of the most important ideas in the whole lesson. In fast music like DNB, tiny parameter changes can feel huge. You don't need dramatic chord changes every few bars. You need intentional modulation that gives the track a sense of breathing. Now let's add the rave pressure. This is where the edit starts to feel like a performance. Grab a rave stab, a vocal chop, or a chord hit. Duplicate it if needed and automate an auto-filter sweep across a couple of bars. Start low, open it up, and let it feel like the sound is charging toward the drop. Use a short delay throw on the last hit of a phrase, then cut it off before the drop lands so the impact feels dry and hard. That contrast matters. Reverb and delay are most effective when they appear briefly and then disappear. If they're always there, they stop creating excitement. So use them like punctuation, a snare roll, a reverse crash, a filtered vocal, a quick pitch down moment. All of that can live in the last half bar before transition and make the drop feel earned. When the first drop lands, resist the urge to overcrowd it. The impact comes from contrast. If the intro and build are filtered, then the drop can feel huge even with just a few elements. Let the break come through more openly. Let the bass phrase breathe. Maybe add an offbeat stab or a short answer from the vocal. Keep the loop simple enough that the listener can lock in, then introduce small variations every 4 or 8 bars. A strong first drop might run like this. Full drums and bass phrase for the first 4 bars, then a second break layer or a small fill for bars 5 through 8, then a subtle change in the bass answer for bars 9 through 12, and a variation fill or top loop change in bars 13 through 16. That keeps the energy moving without turning the arrangement into a wall of sound. This is also a great place to automate drum bus drive, bass cutoff, or send levels to delay and reverb. You might not even need new sounds. Often the best variation is a small change in how the existing sounds behave. Next comes the switch up. Old school DNB gets boring fast if the same 2-bar pattern runs too long. So every 8 or 16 bars, change the shape. Remove the kick for half a bar. Swap in a different break variation with more ghost notes. Drop the bass out for 1 beat before the phrase returns. Throw in a vocal stab or a rave chord to reset the ear. You can make these changes super efficiently in Ableton by duplicating the clip, editing just the ending of the phrase, and consolidating the variation into its own clean clip. Name it clearly so you can navigate the arrangement fast. That sounds basic, but it's part of making the edit feel composed instead of accidental. For the intro and outro, think like a DJ. The intro should be mixable. Keep the bass absent or heavily filtered. Bring in filtered breaks and atmosphere, and leave a section clean enough for a DJ to blend. The outro should do the opposite. Strip elements away step by step. Remove the bass first, then let the drums and atmosphere carry the tail end. And here's a really useful teacher note. Don't just automate volume when you want a section to open or close. Automate the filter instead. That sounds more musical and creates the feeling of the track, revealing itself, which is exactly what old-school rave pressure should do. If you want to go a level deeper, think in energy lanes. Every section should do one of 3 things: tighten tension, widen the soundstage, or increase rhythmic urgency. If a section isn't doing one of those jobs, it probably needs trimming. That's how you keep the track moving forward even when it gets sparse. Also, use silence on purpose. A 1-beat dropout before a fill can hit harder than adding another drum layer. A moment of emptiness gives the next hit more weight. In this style, subtraction often creates more pressure than addition. If you want your second drop to feel stronger, it doesn't need to be louder. It can just be different. Maybe it's darker, more stripped, more broken, or more rhythmically interesting. A great second drop is not always the biggest one. It's the one that feels like a new statement. As you work, keep checking mono on the bass with utility. Especially after adding width or stereo effects, make sure the sub stays solid. Also, listen at low volume once in a while. If the snare and bass interaction still feels urgent quietly, you're usually in a good place. That's a great sign that the arrangement has real pressure and not just loudness. So to recap the core moves, build a clear arrangement skeleton, shape the break like a lead, design a bass patch with mono low end and expressive mids, map macros for fast modulation, use effects as phrase punctuation, and keep the arrangement evolving every 4, 8, or 16 bars. That's the old-school DNB mindset. For a quick practice exercise, set a timer for 15 minutes and build a 16-bar edit. Use 1 break, 1 bass patch, and 1 stab or FX element. Make a filtered intro, a short build, a first drop, and a switch up. Add 1 filter sweep, 1 delay throw, 1 break variation, and 1 bass phrase change. Don't aim for perfect. Aim for pressure, clarity, and movement. If you do that well, you'll end up with something that feels like a proper DJ tool and a proper rave weapon at the same time. And that's the sweet spot.